I was supposed to give this talk also with Mayim, and you know he had left, and with Elisa. I'm so sorry that she's not here because she's a psychologist. I'm not. I'm an hacker. So I will try my best to also to explain her parts, the parts that she was supposed to explain you. What is UNICRI? It's an agency of the UN established back in 68. The goal, we are the UN, so we don't represent any kind of government. We want to help the governments and the countries in order to prevent the crime and help in the criminal justice. At UNICRI, we carried out applied research. We do some trainings for the law enforcement. We have a lot of technical cooperation, and our goal is to disseminate, to teach, to explain, and to help. I belong to a strange department, the Counter-Human Trafficking and Emerging Crimes Unit. Of course, I don't deal with human trafficking at all, even if all the time that I show my UN business card, the girls say, wow, human trafficking, that's so cool, it's like in the movie. Yes, it is. But I belong to the emerging crimes, so cyber crimes, counterfeiting, and all the things you are able to read there. But HPP started originally as an ISACOM project, so now it's a co-jointed project carried out both by the UN and ISACOM. I hope you know ISACOM. We started back in 2002, before we were known as the IDEA hamster over there on the top. We are a non-profit organization, and the HQ is in Spain and in New York. This is good because I don't like to see all the times that we talk about security, the U.S., the American, that teach to us. I think that the European vision, approach, mood, loves changes so much from the U.S., so I think it's important that we have the HQ in Europe. We are an open source community, a registered OSI, and whatever. So we are the author of the OSDEM, OSSTMM, Open Source Security Testing Methodology Manual. And we certify the people with the OPST, OPSA, and OPSC security certifications. Now, why we decided to start HPP 4 years ago? Because of cybercrime. All the times I heard about to talk about cybercrime, there is always something wrong. They generalize too much the term cybercrime. The cybercrime word itself doesn't mean so much. It's cyber and crime. But we have identified at least three issues. A decrease of the window of exposure. I think that all of you know what I mean. So if years ago a vulnerability was in the wild, it stayed in the wild for a long time. Now it's not anymore in this way. We are talking about old days. We are talking about actions in order to buy old days, to buy exploits. I got some friends that they choose as a life to sell exploits to the governments and whatever. It's not a secret that the U.S. government is buying exploits. The China government is helping the Chinese guy in order to attack and to do these kind of things. Then, issue number two, dangerous synergies between who? Those guys that are really technical advanced, they are skilled, and the classic criminality and the terrorism as well. Terrorists are starting to realize, as Fitzgerald showed with us in the previous talk, that IT and hacking may help them a lot. Then, point number three, there is an increasing dependence between the so-called Homeland Security, the TLC, the Fundamental Services for a Country, and the ICT security issues. Nevertheless, all the times that I heard about cybercrime phenomenon, I see mistakes, I do identify mistakes, and the analysis is mainly carried out in a wrong manner. I will explain you why. Now, let's think about hackers. The term hackers, as you know, started around the 80s. We had the first movie, War Games, that is still nowadays my favorite one about hackers, because it's true. the things that are shown in war games are true hacking. We had the word dialing, we have password guessing, and so on. And if you think about still today, after 20 years or so, the same attack paths still works. But then, in the 90s, the mainstream and the mass media, they started to use hackers for everything. Everything that was an IT crime was carried out by hackers. But I think that also in the audience here, we have hackers. But you may be ethical hackers, as I am. You may be a security researcher, or you may be a bad guy, so just a script kiddie or whatever. So the media was using the term hackers for everything, from the most stupid attacks until the most high and elite stuff. So for the mass, no matter if we're talking about the lemurs, the script kiddies, the true industrial spy, the hobby stackers, for them we are all the same. I don't feel like a script kiddo, thanks God. And then, from a business point of view, because your job, I hope and I think, is IT security. So all the times that I ask to my customers, okay, you are scared, you need a pen test, you are asking for some consulting, but who is scaring you? A 15-year-old kid or a 40-year-old professional spy or what? They are not able to answer. They are just able to answer you, I'm scared by hackers. So we thought and we decided that hackers isn't enough to resume a word so complex, and we started to go in details. We begin our research by an analysis, and the result of the analysis is that hackers is still a very blurred image. In the past, hacking was an emerging phenomenon. The people didn't know at all about hackers. I remember when I was trying to explain to my, I'm 35 years old now, I started to act when I was 13 in 86. I was trying to explain to my parents what the hell I was doing all the night at the PC. Hacking, hackers, and they didn't understand it at all. Now, 20 years after, I think that if you go back to your house and you tell to your ma, I'm an hacker, at least she will know the word hacker and the term hacker because of the media. And the most important thing is that the researchers, the criminal researchers that they want to teach us house life, they ignored the hacking phenomenon for years. Today, we have seen all around the internet and the books, there have been some researches carried out about hackers, but as I stated there, they were in mono and not in stereo. I mean, for all of them, for all of the criminal researchers, there is only one type of hacker: ugly, thin, or fat, bad smelling, and so on. I don't feel a top model, but I'm not so ugly. I have some kilos more, but okay. I don't feel to be asocial. I got ethics. I'm not anarchist. Well, it depends. But this is the standard cliche and image of the hackers. We are nerd, we are unable to pick up girls, we don't have any kind of a social life, and so on. Of course, it's wrong. Tomorrow, and HPP to us is the future, we really believe that matching together the criminology research and the information security will bring to the identification of the different typologies of hackers. And that's what we did. So our goals have been to analyze the hacking phenomenon in many aspects, because the mistake that we've seen, to give you the idea, in Italy there is a website where a criminal researcher is trying to interview hackers. This professor is also working for the Italian police. Do you expect that an hacker will ever trust you and fill in a questionnaire if you are from the cops? No way at all. Another issue, all the times when this research has been carried out, they give us as mandatory that every hacker is a criminal. That's wrong, that's not true. Hackers are not criminals by default. Into the hackers community, there may be also some criminals, or in the criminals environments, there may be some bad guys that decided to use the IT and the skills in order to commit a crime. So we wanted to understand why hackers do their stuff, the motivations on the back. We wanted to observe the true criminal actions and not the criminal action. Of course, we are profilers. I mean, I build profiles as a job also. So we started from the gold rule, the 4W, who, where, when, and why. And then we went, our final goal is to acquire to awareness and disseminate all of our results. These are the 8 phases of HPP that has begun in 2004. Phase one, theoretical collection. I will zoom a lot on this. We have been able to build a questionnaire. Actually, it's more, but I will go into the details. The questionnaire is freely available online. It takes a long time to be filled in, so it's not the stupid questionnaire. And we decided to do in this way also to avoid the kids and the script kiddos or whatever, just to make us lose in time. Until now, we have been able to collect more than 500 questionnaires from all over the world. The questionnaires are built in 8 languages. We got Italian, English, French, or Romanian. It's in Russian, it's in Albanian, and French, and whatever. But the questionnaire in all this kind of research is the final goal. We decided the questionnaire to be only the beginning, and I will explain you why. Phase 2 is from September 2004 that me and the UN, we go at, I may say, all the world's IT undergrounds events, because we want to observe on the field, we wanted to show them our results, and to collect new findings and so on. Phase 3. We are building a database in order to elaborate and merge and classify all the outputs that we got from 1 and 2. Then, number 4, I'm talking with Lance Spacener from the Onnet project in order to build a new kind of Onnet, a new generation of Onnet. What we want to do is to replicate true companies, banks, government, and whatever websites in order to see, how can I explain you? At the Onnet project, they care about how you act the target. We don't care so much about the how, but about the why and who. So this will be a very important phase. On phase 5, we will do a gap analysis, merging together everything we got from the theoretical aspects and from the field to mesh them together. Then we will have a life assessment of the profiles, a final profiling, and then all the methodology will be available for free as an open source project under the FDL license bought by ASECOM and the UN. These are where we are. We are on phase 3. As you see, the time is long, and here is what we still have to do. I've wrote the hardest pace because to build this database, we are getting crazy. I don't know if some from the audience remember a fantastic book from the 80s that is called The Cuckoo's Egg. The Cuckoo's Egg is a book where the author is a true story, and the author analyzes and explains when in the 80s he received IT attacks from 2 members of the CCC in Germany, from Pengo and Agbard. Agbard was found fired, and in this way, into a tree, 3 years after. We are talking about 2 hackers from the CCC that were hired by the KGB in order to hack and attack United States military and government IT systems. This is a true tale, so I just don't understand why all the times that I mentioning the terrorist or so on, people don't believe me, because it happened already 20 years ago in the 80s, so why it should not happen now. I was talking to you about the book because if you read the book, there is a part where from the password that one of the hackers has chosen in a system he hacked, the author has been able to realize that the attackers were not from the US but from Europe. Why? Because Agbard, he chose as a password a brand of tobacco that is only sold in EU and not in the US. The attacks, the time zone of the attacks, and many other small inputs helped him in order to track a profile of the attacker and then to identify them. We are going to do the same thing in this database. The database will have fields like the difficulty of the attack vector, the motivations. But we also analyze, we will analyze in the HoneyNets everything that they will type. We will, of course, log them when they will go on IRC and whatever, because we need to build the profile. We don't care that they are committing a crime. The Holiness will be there for that. So we really don't care about the law issues. There will be no law issues, but we need to understand them, to see them, to breathe them. The funniest phase, in fact, will be phase four, the Honeynets. Then I have to done because it's so long. I decided to dot you so many things. So our next goal will be the delivery of the database and of the Honeynet. As I told you, the project is opened, so we need volunteers when it's sponsors and whatever. Our main challenge will be to identify, evaluate the techniques and the attacks tool in order to correlate them in the database, to correlate and identify all the partners, and then, as I told you, when go out on the market, on the free market and on the open source community with the release 1.0. I was telling you about the questionnaires. Until now, we have two kind of questionnaires, the full one and the compact one. Why? In order to fill in the full one, you need from 3 to 4 hours. It's long. It's not a joke. So we decided to create also a compact one that may need from an hour and a half, from an hour to an hour and a half to be filled in. We spread it in 3 ways. Very, very verified ones. It means I know the guys to who I'm asking to fill in the questionnaire because we met in the events, because they are my friends or colleagues or belongs to community and so on. So in this case, we give to them the full release, and the quality of the questionnaire is really high. Number two, in the underground world, is the compact one, and in this case, the QOQ will be average medium. And then we haven't started to do it, we will, into specialized magazines such as Echinine and whatever, and the people will be able to have the link and go online and fill it in. But we know that in this case the quality will be so low. What we ask? First of all, everything we ask is anonymous. We don't even ask them for their nickname. I think that a nickname for an hacker is a paradigm thing. I've seen other questionnaires where the first question was which is your nickname, your alias. That's wrong, and it shows us that the researchers, they don't know the hacking word. We have module A, B, and C. So A, as for every questionnaire, we ask you if you are a male or a female, we ask for your age. We want to get an idea of your everyday life, who you are. In B, we pone many questions about the relationship that the actor has with the authorities, with the teacher at school, their employees, their colleagues, their friends, and so on. So it's more a zoom on the social aspects of the actors. Module C is the technical one and the criminological one. So we ask which kind of target do you prefer to hack? Do you hack on X25 or voice over IP and blah, blah, blah. So everything to zoom on the technical aspects. These are some examples, which is your sex, your age, your title of study. This is from the section D, section C, and so on. This is, for example, from module C, the technical part is only one of the many questions we ask to them. And I decided also to bring you some answers because we are really amazed by the answers from time to time. I prefer to comment these other two. I know who answered this one because I asked to this target to answer us. How do you perceive your hacking or freaking activity, legal or illegal? And the answer is, I don't accept the terms legal and illegal. First comment. Accepting this term means that I have the same point of view as people who have nothing in common with me. That's fantastic. Okay, I'll try to be more specific to help you with this questionnaire. So, in our mind, she's helping us. To me, my activities are legal. To the others, they are illegal. Now, apart from the point that I knew already that she was a girl, but from this answer, we can understand that the behavior of this person is she prefers to attack and not to defend. so she prefers to talk and not to shut up. She's not English mother tongue because there are some mistakes in the text. So you may understand how many things we may be able to collect from every answer. And that's why in order to analyze every questionnaire, it takes us from 3 to 5 days each one. It's not so quick. We received a grand total of 1,073 questionnaires from all over the world. But many participants choose to not to answer to all the questions. For example, we have questions about alcohol, the drugs, and other stuff. Some of them accepted to answer, others they didn't. So the total number of the questionnaire fully filled is 500. At September of 2006, these are the countries from where mainly we got the answers. But we got answers also from the Nepal, from a small island in the Pacific Sea, and so on. It's amazing. But I want to comment the questionnaires. As I was telling you, all the researchers similar to us had the questionnaire as a starting point and a final point. To us, it's only the beginning. So, of course, we don't rely only on the questionnaires. The questionnaire is a part for us. So phase one and two are a kind of requirement in order to do more. A nice comment is that in all the questionnaires at the end, we have a free field, a free text field for the comments or whatever. Okay, we received also some insults, but 95% of the answer of the comments and so on were in order to tell us that we were doing a good thing, and the underground community is really happy about our job, our research. We have been also able to produce a book in Italian until now. It will go out in English for the American market and worldwide for Taylor and Francis at the end of this year. And here I have to play for 5 seconds the EP Italian, because when I went back to my publisher editor and I told them, hey, from the US they are asking us for our results, so it would be a good thing to translate the book. They answered us, do you know, we always import, especially when we talk about IT books, and it's the first time that we are able to export. And that's so good and cool. What are we trying to collect from the questionnaire? The modus operandi. As for every crime scene, we have to understand how the bad guy is acting. We ask things like, do you act alone or in a group? And I will show you at the end all the tables and the results, the resume tables. It's an important question. We ask the motivations for which they do what they do. We ask for the targets they prefer to act. We ask for the relationship between the motivations and the target. I mean, I hack a bank. Okay, are you hacking a bank for money or only to go on the media or only as a challenge? It's totally three different answers. We ask about their hacking careers, if they know and respect the ethics of the hacker, if they crash or damage the systems they attack, if they perceive that what they are doing is illegal. I told you that I started to hack when I was 13. I don't know if you know, all of you know my history. I've been busted in 95 for international hacking by FBI, by a long list. That's why I still can't fly to the United States of America. I was a 20 years old boy when they got me, and I can swear you that, okay, I knew I was acting illegally, but I didn't care at all. I didn't think that they would ever be able to bust me. And the funny thing is that in all the answers of the questionnaire, this approach is the same. No matter if you are talking about a 13 years old school kiddo or a 40 years professional spy, the answers are always the same. And we have tried also from our questions to learn if all the laws that the European community is doing against hacking, they work or no. And I have a surprise for you at the end about this issue. These are some of the categories we have been able to spot, but I will show you shortly the list. But it's interesting to see that even if the technical skill may be high, as for the ethical hackers, for the cyber warriors, they do hostile spies and so on, the danger changes because an ethical hacker would never do intentionally a damage, and so also the quite paranoid and skilled hacker. Now I will resume to you what we have been able to find. So from the 80s, where hackers was only the term, now at least we have 9 different categories of hackers, from the wannabe lemmer to the script kiddie, the decker, ethical hacker, quite paranoid skilled hacker, cyber warrior, industrial spy, government agent, and military agent. We may say that the first two are amateurs. These are hobbyists, and the other are professionals. Why? From here on, they do it only for money. That's why. We have tried to resume the impact that they can have on the target and which kind of target they attack to. Of course, if you are a government agent, you will attack other governments, as China is doing right now. You want to spot some suspected terrorist, or if you are a government agent, you want to steal the know-how from other governments and companies, so strategic companies or individuals. I've tried also to resume with some image, also to laugh a little bit. The categories I'm showing you. I don't know if you recognize this picture over there. We have a 11 years old boy on the skateboard. So the common image of the young hacker and the skate. That was the advertisement for security by Bull. And they've written over there, you must pay attention because this boy will be your next nightmare for your company. So again, the mass medias, they are trying to abuse of hackers in order to do money. That sucks so much. The boy number two is Rafa from a Brazilian group of web defacers. I think I'm a man, so I can't judge, but I think he's a nice boy. So it's not true that hackers are, all of us are ugly. That's an example. He looks a model. These guys over there, they represent the Kardakers. They were the gang of the MOD, Master of Deception, back in the 90s in the United States of America. They had a fight with the LOD, Lords of Doom, and the playground of their fight has been the AT&T telecommunication system. So it happened in January of 90, that all the phone calls, all the telephone system from New York to LA, to Los Angeles, went down, only because somebody from the LOD called the guy over there, you black nigger. So again, two gangs of 15 years old boys in the 90s have been able to switch off all the United States communication system for a whole day. And this happened 15 years ago. Then what we have, me as an ethical hacker, Kevin Mitnick as the quiet paranoid and skilled hacker, and so on. Of course, whenever we go to the agencies, I choose this image because I love the X-Files and the no-face man or the man with the cigar. And these are just some ideas to represent them. But let's go back to us. Here we have been able to do more. So we have the definition here, let's say the profile, but we have also a kind of offender ID. The minimum age and the top age for each of the offenders, if they do it alone or not, the target, and why they do it. Let's take a couple as an example because I don't have enough time. The wannabe lemmers, who are they? Really small kids from nine years old until 15 or 16 that they read on the newspaper about hackers, attacks, and whatever, and they want to be cool as well. So they hack and they risk, and they know the risk, because at the end, they really believe they would like to be on the news, on the newspapers. So why they do, who they attack? They will attack the end user at home with an ADSL line. They will spot for Wi-Fi access and so on. And why they do it? Also, only because it's cool to boast and brag. Only for that. That is totally different from, for example, an ethical hacker that may have from 15 to 50 years old. He does it alone or in group only for fun. His targets are the technology and the vendors. Why? Because we spot the vulnerabilities over there every day, and we do it for curiosity in order to help outside. So you may see how different it is from every profile. Another issue that I want to point you out, only the first two categories they hack in group. Why? You are young, you are not so skilled, so you need others in order to launch your attacks. When you grow up or after the first bust, you learn and you prefer to do your stuff alone because you trust no one. They go back to do it in group when they do it with other goals. Here, we have trying to gather those three aspects. Do you respect the hacker ethics? Do you crash or damage the targets you hack into? And do you know that your activity is illegal? It's funny again, because the most young, they even don't know about hacker ethics. Whenever I say about hacker ethics, my ethics was, okay, I can hack in your box, but I will not damage, I will not steal, I will not erase. I will just hack in your box in order to learn, and that's it. The young, they don't do it then anymore. No one of the hacking community, they do it anymore, except for ethical hackers. Do you crash or damage? Again, in function of the profile, it may be a no or a yes. It depends, again, and everything is explained over there. This is funny. All the new laws against hacking. I've tried to speak with the judges, with the cops, and to explain them, hey, do you see? No one cares about the laws. We know there are laws, but we just don't care. I tell you more. When some of your hacker's friend is busted and he goes in jail, do you stop to hack? I mean, is there a deterrence effect for that? No, at all. If they bust you after, will you continue to hacking or no? Only two said no. Okay, I stop. And these are the youngest one, the kiddos, because it's not so nice to find the cops in your at your home when you are 15 or 16 years old, and you have to explain to your parents what the hell is happening. And the ethical hackers, as me, I knew that I had some high skills, but after the arrest and all the mess, I just decided that the game was over. And it was much better to find into hacking my life, my approach, my work, and my hobbies and my passions as well. Then, in all the serious researches, they have the PIES. So we decided to bring you the Hack PIES. Hack PIES, in this case, is about the sex. A common cliche about hackers and the IT security is that there are no girls. That's false. There are not a lot, okay, only 6%, but if we compare to 10 years ago, the percentage of the girls in the hacking scene was like 1% or even less. Now it's, since I may say 5 years or six, that I attend to security events around the world, and I always see more and more girls around, and that's, of course, good. Then we asked them, we try to spot the age. We've been amazed to see that the highest percentage, the 30% of hackers, are from 10 to 20 years old. So this means that the generation is changing really so much. And then we have from 21 to 25 years old, from 26 to 30, and so on. There are also old hackers. 14 are older than 45 years old. Why? Because all of us, we get older. That's normal. And probably there are some guys that they decided to keep and to stay in the hacking environment, even if they're old. Then, we wanted to learn at what age they started to hack. And again, as I was telling you, as it happened to me, from 10 to 15 years old is kind the main age when you start to hack. I would like also to hear your comments and answers if you think that we are correct or not. Then we wanted to learn if they card. Why? Because carding is, I may say, the only hacking technique that is criminal. You don't need any skills in order to card. There is anything ethical in carding. It's a true criminal action. You card in order to steal or money or goods. We decided to ask this because for us, if you haven't carded never in your life, I may never say that you are a criminal. Otherwise, if you did, my opinion, there is something criminal in your blood, by the way. Where do you live? You may wonder why, because another cliché from the 80s and the 90s is that hackers, they only live in big towns and metropolis and so on. This was true in the past, but now isn't anymore true. Every small village can be connected via the internet, ADSL and whatever. So you don't need anymore to give you the idea. When I bought my first PC, my first home computer, I was 13 years old, I had to cross all the town to find the only shop that they used to sell the Commodore. Now we exit in the start date, and every corner you are able to buy everything, no matter if you live in India, Australia, EU, or whatever. So the gap is over. In fact, we still have the 45% that lives in a big town, but the 35% is from a small town, and the 19% they stay in the country with the cows and the grass. Then we asked them to describe themselves, their technical skills. And here we have been surprised because we thought that the hacker's ego is big, so all of them would have answered, I'm cool, I'm lit, I'm the best. No, they are true. So they say for a 32%, well, I'm average good. And then we have the experts, the high and the low. Socioeconomical status. Why? Because again, in the past, in order to buy a PC and a modem, you had to have the money. Now everything is cheap, so we wanted to learn if it's true that all the hackers, by the way, they came from an upper class family or not. And that's, it seems to be, but also no. The 43% is average high, but the 39% is average low. Nowadays, in order to buy a PC, you can do it with $800, euros, or whatever. So you don't need anymore to come from a rich family in order to play with IT. The studies. All the media, they describe hackers are smart guys, intelligent guys, and so clever. Thank you. But we wanted to see, to check if it was true that all the hackers, they go to university. Of course, the percentage is high, but it's not so high. So this means that you can be an hacker even if you don't know, if you haven't attended to any university class. Also, if you hold only the secondary school or the primary school even. This is the pie I love more. We asked to these 500 hackers, select on your own a word or more that may be able to describe you at the best. Of course, crime is our curiosity. Curiosity is our crime. So the curiosity is at first place. All the hackers, most of them, they answer, I'm curious. But they said also, I'm happy, I'm lazy, I'm healthy. am paranoid, that's good. I'm a manipulator, I'm ingenuous, I'm depressed, I'm extroverted, I'm satisfied, and whatever. My opinion is that if we ask the same thing, not to hackers, but to the standard people, they would just answer in the same way. We are not hackers, we are human beings. That's it. How much time I have? Okay. I wanted to comment you this one, and I will run on the end. The probability that an hacker will start to talk and cooperate with the criminals, and then the criminals will go with the true spies, and from the true spies go to the very bad guys, so the potential damage is higher, already happened. So we don't have to worry anymore. And do you know why I love this picture so much? Have a look there. 97. These guys in 97 have been able to predict something that then happened. But I have to run. So, I don't think that hackers are terrorists at all. We haven't had yet a cyber attack on a country, but we have the China's example and the Estonia example. So, we should rethink about the fact that extremists, they are not skilled. They are beginning to skill themselves. And I love also the history. So all the times that I talk to governative agents, especially from the United States of America, they told me, Arabs are too much ignorant and they will never be able to launch a cyber attack on the United States of America. Ah, yeah? Do you know that the first PC virus has been brought in Pakistan in 86? So, again, if in 86 they've been able to do this, I wonder myself what they may be able to do now. Conclusions. I hope it's clear to you that the hacking world has not always been linked to criminal actions. As I told you, they have been some research, but the research haven't been able to describe such a complex and in continuous evolution world. We believe that it's possible to apply profiling methodology for hackers, but we really have to match together the technical view, the social view, the psycho view, and the criminological view. As I told you, HPP is open to everybody that would like to help you. You can help us filling us the questionnaire or joining our research team. A final consideration, because it's important. Even if we are UN, we don't have the money. Don't laugh, it's true. So we self-funded ourselves. We self-funded, it means that all the research I show with you today has been carried out in the last 5 years on the Friday evening and in the weekends, because they don't pay our office time for this kind of researches. We had so many problems and issues, but it's 4 years that we go on. Everything at the end will be gave us a present to the international community under GNU and FDL. We really think that we are building something that is nice, that is beautiful, that didn't exist, and it seems also to work. So why not? I will send the slides to Confidence. So if you would like to browse through our biography, everything is here. I have to say thanks to all these guys, events, and whatever that are helping us. Thanks so much time. Thanks also to Confidence, to Andres and Anna. And I hope you enjoyed my talk. If you want to email me or my co-researcher, Macy Stefania, feel free to do it. And if you want to know more about HPP, isaacom.org/HPP. If you want to fill in the questionnaire, hpp.recursiva.org. That may be down from time to time because we are homemade. We do it for free. So from time to time, the web server may be or down or up. Thank you for your attention. I don't know if we have the time for the
questions. I guess not. I'm sorry, Raul.
If you have any kind of questions, offer me a beer at the bar and I will be happy to answer you. Thank you.